Hey everybody, my name is Zach Redrup. You're listening to the It's Not a Phase podcast, and on this episode I'm joined by Fake Your Death drummer Sam Barnes. We discuss how Sam got into picking up the drums, how Fake Your Death formed during the lockdowns, their upcoming debut EP Null and Void, having their songs remixed by other artists, and loads more. Now, if you enjoyed this or any other episode of the podcast and you want to show your support, there's a few ways that you can do that. Number one, leave a rating and review wherever you're listening to this. It takes just a few seconds and it really does help. Number two, share this on your social media, whether that be Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, wherever. Or number three, if you want to go the extra mile, you can pay a little bit each month to join the Patreon, and in return you'll get access to episodes early along with some other perks, or you can pick up some merch from the store. All the links to that and the podcast socials where you can follow us can be found at itsnotaphase.co.uk. That's itsnotaphase.co.uk. And now with all that out of the way, let's jump right into this week's episode of It's Not a Phase. What's up everybody? Thank you for joining me on this episode of It's Not a Phase, where I'm joined by Sam of Fake Your Death. How's it going, dude?
Hey, it's going all right, thanks, Zach. It's going all right. Yourself?
Cool. Yeah, not bad, man, not bad. Like I was saying just before we started, you know, you've got this EP coming up, which we'll dive into a bit more shortly. And I'm sure, obviously, there's been things going on behind the scenes that have kept you busy with that. But let's just kind of start, people listening who don't know who you are, the band and stuff like that. Let's kind of go right back to the beginning. When you were getting into music, what kind of bands and albums were really kind of pushing you to think, you know what, I want to be in a band and then obviously eventually pick up the drums?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, it's hard to think back that far, but I guess there's a few bands that really stand out would be like Rage Against the Machine. I remember like getting their first album, like my auntie gave it to me or something, and I was just like, what the hell is this? You can rap and you can play good heavy guitars and stuff. I was into that. And I think from there that opened a few doors to similar bands. And I think I was into like a lot of the sort of like, I guess, nerdier side of things. Like I really like that band Coheed and Cambria.
Great band.
Yeah. And around that time as well, like Fall of Troy and Under Oath, and like, I guess that little scene of bands where I was like, okay, I want to be in a band that's like this, and I want to smash the drums, and yeah, just all the bands that feed off from there stand out. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Was there any like specific reason why you wanted to take up drums as opposed to like going down any of the other potential directions?
Yeah, it's one of those things. I think someone came into school and did a demo of like, you can have drum lessons here at school. And I think a bunch of me and a bunch of my mates were all like, yeah, we want to do that. It looks like so much fun.
Yeah.
So lessons together. And then over time they like sort of dropped off and I was sort of left and was like, yeah, actually I'm into this. And I think I was at a school where there was like not loads of drummers. And I sort of became like a kind of go-to guy, like, as you know, in a very small pond of people. But I just enjoyed it being part of my personality, you know, like, oh yeah, I can do that. I can do that because I can do something else. But yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it tends to be the case, doesn't it? Like usually in like these small pockets of people, it tends to be like the bass and drums that are kind of overlooked more than guitar and vocals. So I guess like when you're forming bands and stuff like that, if you're picking drums or bass, then there's only a handful of people they can select to kind of fill that role. And like you say, you've just kind of were the go-to guy.
Yeah, it's true, man. And then like when you form a band with your mates or whatever, like you feel so cool when you're in school and you're like, you're playing your school battle of bands. And yeah, it's good times.
Yeah, that kind of ties into, we'll get to the band shortly, but away from the band you also do kind of like drum tuition and like you do some session work and stuff like that. What other kind of bands have you worked with in kind of that kind of space?
I've been in and out of bands like a long time. I mean, you probably haven't heard of any of them, but I mean, bands I used to be in.
Well, I did do a bit of sleuthing in some bands you were in, if I'm honest with you. So I know before this band you were in, obviously Lazy Bones, which is kind of like where Fake Your Death kind of comes from. And then you were in a band called Howls for a bit.
Yeah, I played in a band called Howls for a bit. That was cool. That was sort of like punk stuff, which I'm really into. Just trying to be sort of like the Bronx and Gallows Every Time I Die kind of ripoff. Yeah. Band. Played drums in a band called Chalk Hands for a bit. Like, I don't know if you know those guys. They're still going, like, screamo band. Really cool. And then a few bits on and off for like other bands around Brighton, really, like a band called Rex, a band called Harker, and just jumping in here and there with different people, really.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I like creating more and like playing, you know, stuff that I've sort of had a hand in writing, but it is nice to, yeah, be able to jump around different projects as well and just meet different people.
Yeah, like just flex your creative muscles, I guess, like just working in these kind of different areas of music.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about drummers, man. Like, they always do this. It's like you're in a band, but then you also like say yes to all these other bands. And I feel like everyone stretches themselves quite thin. But I think drummers just like to save the day. You know, yeah, like I'll learn a set like in 20 hours, sure. Like, and every drummer I know is like that. And yeah, it's good.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like I was doing a bit of sleuthing on like some older bands that you were in. I came across one called, is it Kid Coppola? I think.
Oh, going back a while now. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that must be, I don't even know how long ago. Like, yeah, 13, 14 years ago or so. Yeah. That was cool. That band sort of sounded like trying to be sort of like Thrice or maybe, which is cool. And most of the guys in that band, I had also been in other bands with, like they were in Howls, and we went to school together as well. So I'd always played music with those guys. Yeah, that was a cool band.
Yeah, I also went back even further than that. There was a band called, is it Canyons?
Yeah, it's essentially the same band.
Oh, okay.
Like, different names and like maybe like one member has changed or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, you've done some digging.
Yeah, I think. And this is the furthest, but was the one called something like 9 Days of Atlas or something like that?
Yeah, again, it's basically the same band. The thing with these bands, man, is like when we were teenagers or like slightly younger, whatever band we were into at the moment like informed what the band sounded like. So you know, we started off with like Love Red Hot Chili Peppers, so we're like, okay, we'll do a band that sounds like that. And then you get older and it's like, oh, I love Alexis on Fire. So now we change our name and we sound like this. And then it's like, oh, now we sound like, you know, this other band, and we change our name again and just keep doing different bands with the same people, you know, can't really settle on what we want to do, ripping off other bands and stuff.
Yeah.
Always been in bands, like I can't really imagine not being in something, you know.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's just, you know, when you're growing up and learning to not only be a musician, but being in a band and, you know, learned how to write songs, record songs, performing live. It's just basically you're cutting your teeth and kind of learning what not only music you like to listen to and enjoy, but also perform. Like, what are your kind of strengths and weaknesses?
Yeah, no, I agree. And like, it all really is building up to where, like, not just me, but like everyone, like where they are now, you know, like every band, every experience shapes the next thing. And you learn something from it. So like even say this band, which is kind of only a few years in, it's like actually informed by so many other experiences. So
Well, going on to your current band, this band, Fake Your Death. So that kind of came out from, I guess, the downtime of the lockdowns that we had a few years ago. So when did that kind of begin and kind of come into fruition? Because I know obviously you and Candy were in Lazy Bones before, which is essentially, you had one other member in that band, and then it's just you two doing Fake Your Death, and it's two very different vibes, two very different bands. So how did that kind of all start?
Well, Lazy Bones, yeah, was like a cool garage rock kind of thing, and we played a lot of gigs. Then COVID hit, the gigs stopped, so we stopped like rehearsing and writing. And then, you know, I find myself like just like with all the free time, and I'm on my own, and I just started writing music that was electronic. Just something completely different. Like in the beginning, there wasn't even any drums, like live drums on it at all. It was just all electronic because I couldn't really see a point in doing anything else, because I was like, well, I can't play live, can't get in a practice room. I'm just going to write something that like I could essentially put out without the need to like record or anything really. So yeah, I started doing that. And then like, you know, Candy's in a similar position. She wants to sing, but we can't play live. And then we just demoed some stuff. And to be like, it all came from those, you know, that year and a half, 2 years period with the lockdowns and stuff. And when we were doing it, we really didn't think it would even get off the ground, to be honest. It was just a recording project. And then as the things started to come back to life, we were like, okay, well, like, what if we played this in a room? Do we need more people? Like, can we do it just us two? How do we make this fit in with what we're experienced in, which is playing live? And then, yeah, managed to sort of get that together. And then that's how it formed. Yeah. I mean, like the songs on this EP are from that time. They're recorded during that time, you know. So it was early days where, yeah, we didn't know what it was kind of going to be, but it's something.
Yeah. Was there anything in particular that was inspiring those, like say you're starting off as like a like an electronic kind of music thing? So I guess things, I don't know, like Prodigy or I don't know, maybe even like the Armed, because I know like you said before, you like some of that more abrasive punk hardcore kind of stuff. I don't know, what was kind of influencing you in putting those backdrops together initially?
So yeah, I mean, I love the Prodigy, definitely an influence there. And then Nine Inch Nails, you know, on when they lean more electronic, like the earlier stuff, I guess. Crystal Castles, bands like, I don't even know, a band called Horror. Well, you could tell they've got this electronic element, but it's like also punk, you know? And yeah. The abrasiveness of like those bands. There's a solo guy called Blank Mass. Used to be in Fuck Buttons. It's like just really abrasive electronic music. I like the abrasive stuff. If you think about like there's you know like Code Orange, they had that like I think it's the underneath like my third or they had this, like glitchy stuff and it's just horrible sounds. And I think it was that inspired me to be like, okay, like this is heavy, but the moments it's not necessarily like a beat down like with guitars and stuff. It's heavy in a different way where it's like making you feel uncomfortable and it's just really noisy. So that was where I was going with it. And then you've got Candy with a bit more of like a pop sensibility and some of like the hookiness, which kind of levels it out, I guess.
Yeah. So this is obviously building up to this EP that's coming out called Null and Void. So was it always kind of the case then that you were just kind of putting these songs together that would eventually turn into an EP? Was like the EP always the plan, or was it always just like singles for now? You know, because just the way that music's consumed nowadays, it's just a lot of people just put singles out for extended periods of time.
Yeah. The plan was to do it, just do singles. Like we recorded all the tracks at the same time, like five, you know, songs. And then we didn't really know what we spaced out three singles over the last, you know, nearly 2 years. So it's sort of like we were said, we're going to just put out some singles, see what happens. And then, then it was like, well, we can tie this off nicely, these five songs now, giving it like a name or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
The plan was just to record like what we had and just kind of just see what people think of it, you know, like record enough to the, you know, so we have a set as well, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So, so that was recorded with Wayne Adams, I think, in his studio Bear Bites Horse. Is that right, in East London?
Yeah, well, Wayne produces it. So we record it all ourselves.
Right.
And produces it. So he's sort of like an extra member of the band that takes what we do and just kind of elevates it even further with his sort of knowledge of... Because he makes a lot of electronic music. He's in like this band called Pet Brick and Big Lad. So like it's just like some they're cool. If you don't know them, you should check them out. But he knows what he's doing with electronic and heavy stuff. So yeah, he kind of helps us out. And yeah, the way like it's nice we can do everything remotely, basically. Yeah,
that helps if you know, fingers crossed it never happens, but another pandemic comes around the corner.
Fortunate enough to better record the drums and the vocals ourselves, and it means we can take our time on things and it saves studio costs, which when there's just two of you in a band, it's helpful.
Yeah. So was there quite a lot of music then, you know, like a stockpile of songs, and you've just kind of like funneled and whittled it down to these five that we hear on the EP then?
Yeah, I think that we picked the best five of maybe like, you know, maybe there was probably maybe 10 in total. We picked five, but the other five may have not been fully finished. And since then, they've actually turned into new stuff for the future. But yeah, it was like, we'll pick the best of the bunch, you know?
Right. Yeah. Right. And do you think that maybe in the future you will revisit those kind of songs that didn't quite make the cut and either finish them off, or I guess like you can take chunks and put them into new songs that maybe you'll work on at some point?
In fact, that's like already in process doing that. Because it's I don't know, if you've got an initial idea, there was something there. I find like you had, there was an initial idea, and maybe at that time you didn't think it was great, or you just couldn't quite finish it, but it's still there, you know. Like, I think you can always get an idea to like a finished project rather than just abandoning it. So there's lots of stuff kicking around. And you know, it was the early days, and kind of still is. There's lots of trial and error with figuring out what we want it to sound like, you know. So there's some ideas.
Yeah. And what about like these videos that you created as well for the three tracks that we've heard so far? Like, I think it consume, like, obviously with all that kind of gunk being thrown on Candy and the obviously all the eating and stuff, and then you've got what were those like video creation processes like, and wanting to portray the band visually?
Yeah, I guess with that consume video, it's quite like brutal almost, I guess. Mm-hmm. With the it kind of looks like fake blood and it's quite gross, and that just fits in with the song theme of like over consuming and like being greedy, and we just wanted to make that an extension of the music where it feels kind of uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah,
like, you know, I'll be completely honest, I don't love doing videos. I find it really hard to think of ideas. I question their like purpose, you know, in this day and age. It's not like when I was younger and like I'd be watching Kerrang or whatever on TV all the time, and that's how I'd get an idea of what a band looks like. Now, like, you can you don't have to. So I'm on some videos, but you know, I still feel like they're kind of necessary. But yeah, it's tough though.
Yeah, like you say, is it a bit of a different age, isn't it? Like, I think I was like you, like when I would come home from school, I'd shove on Kerrang or Scores or MTV2, and then there'd be like obviously plenty of bands on there that I already know and songs that I love, but there'd be so many times where a band would come on and be like, I never heard this band before, and they sound great, like I want to find out more about these.
Yeah, I'd like, yeah, sound like an old man now, but like sometimes you'd be like, oh, that's what they look like
yeah,
and you don't follow them on social media or whatever, you know. So interesting times. But yeah, I keep pushing the boundaries with that as well, and get, you know, some, keep making that an extension of the band.
Yeah. Well, you also had two tracks on there that have been like reworked or remixed. Like Consume was reworked by El Muno, and then you had Truth, which was remixed by is it Dislover?
Yeah.
How did they just kind of happen? Why were you working with them? How did that come about?
This lover, like, he's a solo artist who does like some really noisy industrial stuff, like really kind of brutal sounding, and he'd done a remix of like Harriet band EP, you know, that band Harriet. So I like heard about him through them and like got chatting to him online, and yeah, it's really cool that he did that remix for us, and hopefully we can do something else together in the future. And then the El Muno guys, like, you know, we're from Brighton and they've been kicking around here for like a long time. Like, maybe I feel like it's 8-10 years that we've been seeing them at different shows and getting to know them guys. And Zach's a great singer, so it was cool for him to chuck some vocals on that remix. And like, we now share the same like management, so just kind of like, yeah, cool to work with another band that we really like.
Feels like there's the track on the EP that's not out just yet called Broken, which is, it seems to me, like the most electronic focused track on the EP. Yeah, that song already kind of feels like it could fit just as well on a mosh pit as it would in a dance club. So I guess that would be like a good one to potentially go through like a remix process by someone at some point.
Yeah. Good idea. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's got that like sort of, yeah, it's like a pump to it, right? Like you could dance.
Yeah. That's a fist pumping track for sure.
Yeah.
Well, you've also got the release show for the EP. That's on the 25th in London. So a few days after the EP itself comes out. How are you feeling about that? Are you playing the EP in full at that show then?
Yeah, we'll be playing all the songs off the EP and a couple of new ones as well, which I'm looking forward to doing. It's going to be good. Like, you know, we've only done one other headline show before, you know, and it's exciting to do it, but like it's a bit nerve-wracking as well, you know. We're still a young band, but I think it's a cool way to celebrate it, you know. It's a small venue, and it should be good. Yeah, we got some cool support from Nailbreaker, but yeah, it's gonna be good. Yeah,
awesome. And what else have you got planned for
2024 so far? I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of stuff you can't talk about, but what's the general vision for the year?
I want to put out as much new music as possible, really, and keep playing with cool bands. We've had the chance to play with loads of cool bands so far, and make some good friends. So I just want to keep doing more of the same and trying to write better music, and just try and keep the train moving, you know? So it's not the next thing. So yeah.
Yeah. So you think it's just going to be more singles going forward for the time being, and just playing shows where you can?
Yeah, putting out some more singles, hopefully doing some more remix kind of things. Keep writing for something else. Yeah. And we've got a live session coming out with the EP as well, which is us playing the EP in full, right? Just those five tunes, which I'm excited for people to see as well.
Cool. Where was that done? At your home or somewhere else? Where was that done?
The Green Door store in Brighton, the venue. Have you been there before?
I've never been to Brighton.
It's like an old, it used to be like a stables like a long time ago, and it's got this like kind of rickety like brick floor, and it smells bad, but like it's a cool place. We got our friend Ian Colson, who's done most of our music videos, and we just set up all the recording stuff and just played the EP in full and filmed it in one shot. So it's quite cool. I think it was nice to do something that's a bit different to a scripted video. So yeah, that'll be coming out soon.
Yeah, I guess that acted as practice, I guess, to this, obviously, the EP show that you're going to do. You've already played all the songs live. You kind of got a feel of how to go about doing it. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks very much for your time, Sam. Really appreciate it. Best of luck with the band and the EP. I'm sure it's going to go down a treat for everyone who listens, and the show's going to go well. Before I let you go and enjoy the rest of your day, any final words, anything you want to say or plug?
I would say thanks to you. Thanks for giving us the time, to talk about the EP and listening to it. And I just, hope people like it and come see us. And we're just getting started. So yeah, I'm excited.
Awesome, dude. Thanks again. Hopefully catch you guys soon. And if you're ever in Manchester and fancy getting a beer, then you can hit me up.
I'll do. Thanks, Zach. Thank you.
Awesome, dude. Take care of yourself. Bye. And that is it. Thank you so much for listening. Again, if you enjoyed this or any other episode of the podcast, then please leave a rating and review wherever you're listening to this. If you want to support the podcast further, you can go and give it a follow on social media, pick up something from the merch store, or subscribe to the Patreon to get early access to episodes. All the links can be found at itsnotaphase.co.uk. That's itsnotaphase.co.uk. Thanks again, hopefully catch you on the next one, and remember, it's not a phase, it's a lifestyle.